The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You're listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
All right, greetings one and all, and welcome to this this next edition of the TWBC podcast. My name is Tony Lightfoot, and glad to have you on board. And I'm over here at the Swiss Pro Slalom the day before, and a lot of activity going on, as you can probably tell from the Nautique in the background and all of the spray and everything with the skiers coming in and what have you. And one person who's just come off the water after a practice, and it looked pretty good from my perspective at least, is Joel Poland. So how you doing, Joel?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks, Tony. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm giddy, excited, you know. I mean, the brand new season. We had the Swiss Pro Tricks a couple of almost two weekends ago now, but a lot has been going on since that time. Maybe you want to fill in some gaps there, Joel.
Yeah, I had a pretty big week. I got a new car, and car. On top of that,
you lead with the car. That's what I like about you. You're so understated in a lot of these things. No, but what car? All right, let's continue on with that. What car was it? Come on,
I got a brand new Jeep Cherokee.
Oh. That Mastercraft checks, huh?
Yeah, it's kicking in, huh?
There you go. So Jeep Cherokee, has it got all the mod cons, you know?
It has, like, everything you could possibly imagine in it. Like, it basically drives itself. I was in traffic yesterday all along, like, Highway 50, and it took, like, 40 minutes to get home. It's got that cool thing where you can just track the car ahead, and it, like, I didn't even have to touch the throttle. I didn't have to touch the steering wheel. It keeps me in the lane and everything, like... Could have taken a nap and I would have been fine. It's basically
please
a Tesla.
Please don't. All of you kiddies out there with that kind of system, do not take a nap while you're driving. please do not listen to a word he says on this, okay? But to my original question, so far as what's been going on the last weekend or so, obviously I was trying to allude to performances on the water rather than receiving a new car. But come on, let's spit it out.
Yep, so I broke that overall record by like a real small margin, but you know, one more record in the books, I guess. It's pending. We'll see if it goes through, but yeah, very happy with that as well, actually.
Do you feel confident that it will go through? You know, because, I mean, in these situations, I mean, it's not just one score, it's all three, you know, and in one event in particular, you know, if a trick is out of time or if the panel of officials that they assign to reassess the record have a different view to what they did on the site. You know, does that kind of make you a little bit nervous? Or
yeah, definitely. Like I'm not going to say it's 100% going to go through, because you never really know these things. But it was out of fluid, and you know, fluid always. I've done a couple records now. I think this will be my third one now at fluid, and in the past they've all gone through, you know, just fine. So hopefully one more in the books.
One more in the books. Okay, so let's go one by one with the scores from that record. One at 10.25 meters. One at 41 off. A little below par, at least compared to what you were doing towards the tail end of last year. But I mean, one at 41 off is a decent pretty score to set yourself up with.
Yeah, it's a nice score. So we actually had a little bit of challenging conditions. Like, it was a pretty strong head tailwind. So I opted to take the 39 tailwind. Figured, you know, go for it. Give myself the best sort of setup at 41. And maybe just kind of got a little narrow in that headwind on the gate, and then I was maybe trying to aim to get too much and just kind of shorted myself a little bit coming into two. It was really close. I had to review it. They almost thought I went around two ball, but I went straight over the top of it. For a second, I'm wondering, did I even break the record? I'm pulling my hair out thinking, what an idiot. You just had an opportunity to break it and you missed two, but ended up perfect, really.
But you had a pretty good jump of a 200, what was it, 231, 70.3 meters.
Yeah.
You know, you're still throwing darts out there so far as the jumping is concerned.
Yeah, jumps definitely the thing I was most proud of about that tournament. I mean, two rounds in a row going 230, and before that tournament, I'd only gone 230 one time before. I felt like I was kind of stuck last year at that 228, 229 margin. And yeah, managed to get over that 230, two rounds in a row. So yeah, happy chappy.
Excellent. And what about tricking? 11.6, 11.680.
Yeah, tricking, man. It's really driving me mad at the moment. I just haven't quite had a round where hands and toes have gone perfect. Last year, like straight out the bat, I was tricking 12 grand like every single round almost. Mm. And this year I seem to just be messing up one run here, messing up one run there. But overall, I mean, my tricking feels better than it's ever been. I maybe just need to kind of get it together on one day.
just one sweet day, I'm guessing. You know, I mean, because a lot of what you're saying there, could have just as well applied to the Swiss Pro Tricks that took place not too long ago.
Yeah, same thing in Swiss Pro Trick. I mean, like round one, I, you know, had a few little errors here and there. And then round two felt good, but then, you know, toe run, there was a trick, not credit. And then hand run was perfect. And then in the final, it was the opposite way around. My toe run was perfect, and then my hand run had an error. And, well, I wouldn't say an error. I went for the ski line 7, and I fell on it, which, not the worst thing in the world to fall on the ski line 7, but
it's just one of those throwaway tricks that you just attempt just for the heck of it.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
I'm glad that at least if I was going to fall, it was on like a ski line 7 and not like a back to back or something, because I've done that.
You have fallen on a back to back. You are human, which leads into my question. I mean, next question, you know, because I mean, you've been breaking like records in world overall for, I don't know, since 2021, you know, so, and even a little bit before that. But and people ask, how do you do it? I mean, come on.
You know, it just happens. I don't really work hard or anything like that. I just kind of. No, I'm kidding. It's a lot of hours.
Please do not tear your hair out when you listen to this.
No, it's I put the hours in. I get it a lot. People are like, oh, you got the, you know, you're talented and everything. And I do think, you know, maybe I've got that little bit of talent and everything, but I got a really good crew around me that just kind of make my talents exaggerated, I guess. They make me look better than I am, I guess. They really help me out.
Excellent. So, this time around, the world overall record was performed by a Mastercraft, and not too long afterwards, you took delivery of a new boat. I mean, how's that ride working out for you?
That was the best day of my life, honestly. Like breaking records and stuff like that is pretty cool. But picking
so, did
up that
you get
boat
the
was...
Jeep Cherokee before you got the boat, so you could actually tow it off the lot type deal?
I did indeed. I got that Jeep like literally the day before. I needed to get a new car to tow the new boat, so I've been having some good seasons. I normally am like kind of harsh with myself on like not spending money, but I was like, you know what, it's about time you got a new car. Let's kind of go for what you're looking for here. And yeah, nice car, nice boat.
Life sounds pretty good for Joel Poland, I would say at the moment.
Yeah, life took a big upgrade this week.
Yes, indeed. Now, so far as your other equipment is concerned, I mean, it's taken a while, but now you are the top slalomer
in overall
in radar. Representing the rep in the brand, because I mean it took seemingly forever for radar to register a score that into 9.75 meters. I mean, Syndicate have had skiers that are going to gone into 9.75 meters. I think Good have had a few. I mean, and Radar was the only top brand left not to have had a skier into 9.75 meters, and you kind of put that one to rights last season.
Yeah, it was nice to tick that one off. Actually, so we just signed, well, Radar signed Robert Pigozzi at the start of last year, and at the photo shoot there was talks of like between Robert and Brooks of if he runs 41 and, you know, what happens if he does this. And I was sitting in the back seat listening, and I was just thinking like, man, no way. Like, I've been here for too long for you to come in and steal the spotlight like that.
Yeah, and you certainly did. You know, I mean, you got zero at 9.75 meters. How determined are you to actually kind of put something above zero going forward?
I'd like to turn one. Like, I think as a lefty, it makes sense that if I'm going to go on 43, like, no one wants to get a half, no one wants to get one, everyone wants to try and turn one, right? I mean, yeah. Well, that's not true. If you get around one, you're going to be pretty happy either way. But in my head, getting like zero or half.
But I mean, you're not especially tall, so I mean, you don't really have height going for you so much, you know, with some of the skiers that have actually registered scores into 9.75, they stand over 6 feet tall, you know, so I mean, there are physical limitations going forward, you know, to get any deeper on 9.75 meters, because the rope's always working against you.
Yeah, no kidding, man, like... I really do kind of feel that height thing, especially, like, even on 41, like, it feels like I have to reach so far, especially, like, you know, you see some of the taller guys, but then, you know, with that comes some advantages, like, I'm shorter, so my center of gravity is a bit lower, and, you know, I got pretty good balance, I think, because of being shorter, and it definitely helps out my trick and jump an insane amount. Yeah. If I was taller, I don't know how I'd make those other two work quite as well.
So if there was a situation where you could be someone else for a day, someone maybe taller, you know, or they put you on the medieval rack or stretched you out a little bit, you definitely wouldn't take that option, you know, for the sake of keeping your tricks and jump.
No, not really. I kind of take a lot of pride actually in that, like. I mean, I have good balance and stuff, but I had to train that, and, like, I got tested when I was in Chile, basically, to see how athletic and how strong and everything like that I am, and my height and body fat and everything, and they basically came back and went, like, you're a pretty average dude, like, you don't really have any, like, big advantages or disadvantages, like, you're just, like, dead in the middle in terms of, like, size, strength, height, like, my arm span is the exact same as my height, like, so I kind of feel like I'm that average Joe just kind of hanging in there in terms of my body.
How does that translate there? You know, because if you told someone you're just average and you'd think to yourself, oh, thank you. Cheers, mate. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of how it felt at the time. Like, he's telling me, like, hey, man, like...
You're average.
You're just pretty average. And I'm kind of going, like, huh. So I guess it's my brain that's different or something. I don't know.
Okay, let me scoop a sample of that out. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so you spent a lot of time in Chile over the last couple of seasons, mm-hmm. over at the Gonzalez's place and over in their lake house and what have you, know. So I mean, what is that vibe like in the off season?
I always go there to kind of get back into shape for training and everything, and it's amazing. Like, we'll go train Monday to Friday, and we ski every day. We go to the gym maybe 3-4 days a week. They got a swimming pool as well at their house, and, you know, Jose Gonzalez, the father, he's a really good triathlete, so he loves swimming and stuff. And
so when we're talking swimming pool, we're not talking about like an infinity pool or something where you can just kick back, you know, and just laze around. It's one of those top of the line.
It's a one lane swimming pool. It is for swimming. And yeah, so like I'll swim a fair bit there. And yeah, the vibe is pretty much you go train Monday to Friday, and then on the weekends we go out to the lake house and go enjoy ourselves in the big lake, wake surf, foil, mess around on a trick ski, have a good time, and then get back to training really hard Monday through Friday. And it always whips me back into shape, and yeah, really, really good place to kind of get me back into gear for the season.
Now, we've talked about your boat, let's talk about skis, because, I mean, just before you went out, I asked you about your slalom equipment, which, to the surprise of a lot of people, you know, most skiers or most people that are aficionados of slalom acknowledge, you know, that maybe some of the top level skiers, you know, have dial in their equipment, you know, to make certain modifications, obviously the change the fin and what have you, but maybe they modify the boot and all of that kind of stuff. You, for the most part, just ride stock, and that extends all the way down to the boot, which you can buy at any radar dealer, and you'd have the same setup essentially as you do out there.
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of been a believer of, like, you don't want to have anything that's too special or too custom. Like, you don't want to have those unicorns, really, because people get stuck in them, and maybe you can get a boy here or a boy there extra, but I mean, is it worth it? If something breaks, you're kind of screwed. So I tried to go with stock with everything. And yeah, like, the only thing that wasn't stock for a while was the bungee lace on my boot. was a hard lace, and I just switched back to a bungee lace. So now I'm like fully on stock for boot, slalom ski. I maybe get the stuff a little earlier than everyone else, but okay. That's about it.
I bet that cheers up Robert Pagosi in no small fashion.
I mean, we all seem to get the skis around the same time. They get shipped to Matt, and then Matt goes, this one's for you, this one's for you, this one's for you. We just line up, and he hands us skis.
That sounds like Christmas morning, doesn't it?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so tricking your ski. Well, actually, the Graviton started out life as a creation of Matt Reaney.
Yep.
I mean, I'm guessing over the years they've made some modifications, material science and what have you, to change the flex pattern and the stiffness and what have you. So, I mean, how much different is your ski compared to the one that Matt put on the market several years ago?
So compared to like version one of that Graviton that first ever came out, like we're pretty much on a totally different ski now. Shape, everything, flex boxes, material, everything's changed since then. But you know, as skis go, it's like a slow evolution. So a little bit changed here, a little bit changed there, a little bit changed here. But for the last sort of couple years, I'd say the ski's been the same. We've changed the graphics, and we always try keep it looking good and keep moving that way, and we're always trying new stuff, so we'll do new materials and that kind of thing. But in terms of shape, like, we found a shape that we love, we're sticking with it. Like, you know, if it works, why mess with it?
Now, you do a whole bunch of front flips and that kind of stuff, which kind of leads into my next question. How many skis do you go through? How many of them do you snap?
So there was a little while where I just used to change skis like two or three times throughout the year. And I'll probably change skis maybe like mid-season, like after I get back from Europe, I'll just change for the sake of change.
Okay.
Just because you don't want to risk breaking a ski. But yeah, I can't even remember the last time I actually snapped a trick ski.
Okay.
It's been a fair few years. There was a point where they were snapping sort of left, right, and center.
But that's because you at that time that when you were doing it, you were basically skiing on that ski longer than you typically would do now. So
No, like it was just, you know, you're trying to do crazy things in a ski that no one's really tried before, and then you land on it in the wrong way and you just go straight through the ski. So we had to change materials and make them stronger in some places and, you know, just more durable. But yeah, like the last time I broke a trick ski was, it's got to be like 4 or 5 years now, and I was doing a front flip off of Matt's top deck, so it's like 10 to 12 foot. And I did like 10 in a row, and then on the last one I landed and just went straight through the trick ski. I had to call Brooks up and like, hey man, I broke my trick ski. He's like, how'd you do that? I'm like, oh, I was doing a front flip off the top deck. He's like, Joel, I give you skis that are bigger, and like he gives me 43s and stuff to try that stupid stuff, and I'm just like, well, I didn't plan on doing it. It just, you know, one Monday I was like, hey, I want to do a front flip off the top, and we tried it 10 times and the ski broke.
All right then, so let's go on to jump, you know, the early part of your free event equipment that isn't produced by Radar. What are you currently riding?
So I'm on the Goodmans.
You're on the Goodmans.
Yeah, I'm on the Goodmans, and then I've always been a Goodman guy, and you know, they've always worked great for me. Ron's always been really good with me as well, and he's always, you know, just sort of taking care of me, and skis work every time. Like, I've never had a pair of skis that didn't feel great from like the first set. So you know, again, like, not gonna mess around with it. They feel good. I just keep rolling with it.
What length are they?
90s.
90s. Yeah. Okay. Plenty of speed off the turn. You know, I mean, they look pretty stable. I mean, from what I can tell.
Yeah. I mean, like, as far as I don't know what Ron does in his little workshop or anything, but as far as I know, I'm on like pretty standard jump skis as well. Like, he doesn't do anything too special for me. The only thing he does do is he makes the tails of my skis a little stronger, because I cross my tails on landings and kind of beat them up a little bit. So it's literally just so I don't break the tail of the ski.
So basically, he's trying to build enough within the ski to where if you go crazy, which apparently seems to be quite frequently, then the skis will still stay intact.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right, then. That's a simple, succinct answer to that one. Anything else equipment-wise? You've just switched to speed suits. I mean, you showed me that one. You're migrating from British Racing Green to like a navy blue, and you're even wearing navy blue right now. I mean, what's the deal with that?
I like blue. it's a really solid color. I mean, I feel like my tastes just change a lot, and like, so when I went with that green speed suit, in my head I was thinking like, everyone keeps calling me an alien and aliens are green, so I'm gonna get a green speed suit. And then I put it on, and before I even got that thing wet, everyone's like, you look like Freddy Krueger from Wish. I'm like, damn it. And it's too late because I've already got it, I can't change. So I rolled the whole season through it, and then this year it was time for a new speed suit, and I designed my boat and it came out blue, and then I was like, you know what, I'm gonna get a matching speed suit.
Is your car blue?
No, my car's white.
Ah,
but it does match the white undertones of the Mastercraft. It, like, the Mastercraft logo, like the Mastercraft Pro Star bit, is like glowing white, and it matches my car perfect. So yeah, even that kind of matches.
Yeah, I need to go see that. You need to take me for a ride around Claremont.
Yeah,
you know,
we can do that.
Yeah, should we go get some lunch?
I could do that.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Okay, we'll go with that. Swiss Pro Slalom. This is probably one of the very few events during the course of the season where it's like a single event competition. You've previously stated that you won't travel to a competition unless it's more than one event, you know, whether it be slalom or tricks or slalom or jump or any other two event combination, you know. But this is one of the very rare occasions where we get to see ski in a single event, save for last weekend, 2 weekends ago, which was the Swiss Pro Tricks. But but you don't normally go out of your way to go to follow the slalom tour or the the water ski pro tour, so far as the slalom is concerned.
So in previous years, no. I've always skied the Swiss Pro Slalom though, because it's like 10 minutes away from my house. It's a beautiful spot. It's a good first tournament of the year, kind of get you in that groove. But I think this year I'm gonna do a few more slalom tournaments. Not all of them, like, you know, I gotta kind of be smart with the ones that I do go and don't go to. Mainly just, you know, I'm lagging around jump and trick bag as well everywhere, and I gotta kind of be able to train those two events. So.
So where would you base yourself if you had to ski those events in Europe? Would you be over in Oxford somewhere, possibly? Or?
You know, I've found the best way to make it work is you just go from one site to the next one. So, you know, we're going to have a tournament at Botas. I'm going to go ski there a couple days before. And then after that, it's San Gervasio, and the plan is to go to San Gervasio, ski there for a week.
Oh, that's an event. You've never been to San Gervasio. This is breaking news, folks. Joel Poland is coming your way, Italy.
Yeah, very excited about that. I've tried to make it work in the past, and just, you know, there's been other events that kind of lined up with it, or, you know, I've had to kind of go train for another event. But you know what, this year... I mean, I ran 41, so I should... I'm a slalomer now, right? So I need to go do some slalom tournaments, push myself a little bit.
So have any of your competitors told you about the Agriturismo?
No.
No, it's...
Please tell me.
Yeah, the Agriturismo Campagnoli, which is just down the road from San Gervasio. It's an Agriturismo because it's like a farm that produces their own food, and then they have a restaurant that's connected to it. So basically everything that you eat there... was made fresh
day. It's all fresh.
It's all fresh.
Well, I am a big foodie, so I will be visiting that place.
Oh, yes. I mean, they've got tomahawk steaks. They've got...
I love a steak.
They've got mozzarella cheese, you know, and caprese, you know, and everything. It's one of the foodie places that I personally look forward to going to, and certainly Vince looks forward to going to, because, yeah. I mean, he has dietary issues with gluten-free stuff, so, I mean, that's probably one of the best places he can go to, you know. But you're a bit of a foodie. Okay. Okay, what places, you know, kind of do it for you?
I like cooking. I like making my own food, but I can always appreciate, like a well cooked food. So, like, not so much the chains, more like a really good restaurant. There's this one place, it's my favorite. It's called Rocker. It's in London, and it's like Asian fusion, but like sort of a little bit more high end. Like, every time you go there, it really breaks the wallet, but it is just like, it's the best food you've ever had, and really good ingredients, and like,
yeah,
you know, being a chef myself, or a bit of a chef in my head, I always like trying to sort of take an idea from them.
Yeah, basically, if you go anywhere near Kensington and Knightsbridge, just be prepared to like lose some zeros in your bank account.
Yeah, no kidding. You'll half it.
Yeah, exactly. Other tournaments you're looking forward to beyond San Gervasio? Or?
I was actually just looking at my schedule, and I think between now and the end of August, I have 2 weekends off. I've got a couple like weddings and bachelor party trips as well, and you know, we do the Herbs Cup tournament, and that's probably the one I'm most excited for is Herbs Cup.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, that's the tournament that features mainly radar athletes, you know.
Yeah, it's all radar athletes. It's a big sort of get-together between all the athletes. We get a bunch of the dealers come in, all the, like, ski dealers and everything. Not the other kind of dealer.
I don't know what you mean.
But, yeah, it's like, that's hands down one of my favorite events. And then, of course, you know, we've got this whole overall tour as well going on right now. So I think we have three of those tournaments lined up. And they're always a really good time, especially all the overall guys. We're really good friends. We all travel together. We all stay in the hotels together. We get the rental cars together. And yeah, just we're like a little traveling circus. So
yeah.
But yeah, between now and I think it's the end of August, middle of September, I just have like tournaments back to back to back to back to back.
And I'm guessing this year there's a little less emphasis on the on overall. I mean, aside from those tournaments, because it's a non-Worlds year. So, I mean, does that kind of play into it a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. That was part of the theory of doing some more Slalom tournaments this year is, you know, I would argue that Slalom is probably my weaker event. I'm a pretty good tricker, and I've won trick events. I've won a jump event, and I seem to make podiums a lot in those two. But in Slalom, I'd say, you know, I'm not making podiums a whole lot. So the aim is to push myself a little bit more and try up my Slalom game a bit.
Yes, indeed. I mean, you said that you got to attend a couple of weddings. Anyone that I know of, or
yeah, I know both of them. Stephen Nevy.
Oh yeah, he's getting married fairly soon.
Yeah, so he's getting married. That'll be in June. So that's going to be. I mean, if I know Stephen, that's going to be one hell of a party. That's going to be really fun. And then another one is a really good friend of mine, Conley Panette.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So
I didn't know he was getting married that soon.
Yeah, I know, man. I mean, well, him and his girlfriend, they've been together for, I don't even know how many years now. Like, we've been pressuring him for years. Like, when you gonna put a ring on it? When you gonna put a ring on it? And, yeah, he's getting married this August. So, I'm one of the groomsmen. We're doing the bachelor party and everything before I head off to Europe. So I am missing an event, one or two of the Slalom events, going to his bachelor party, which is totally cool with me. Because, yeah, we're going to have a pretty good time.
Wow. I mean, you're invited to so many of these things. I hardly get invited to anything at all. I mean, to be honest, I mean,
Tony, we wouldn't have water skiing without you, man. You're the one who started the broadcasting company.
Yeah, indeed. And that was in 2010, folks. So, I mean, it's a great adventure, certainly.
Damn straight. You're the OG. I remember meeting you for the first time in Peru. At the Junior Worlds, and
I thought I met you for the first time in one of those Prince's Pro-Ams, as a matter of fact.
Possibly,
I
would have been really tiny, but I remember the first time of like fully getting to know you and like sitting down. We were in Peru, and we all sat down around the table, and you were eating with the British for a night.
Yeah,
and yeah, we had a good little chat, and yeah, that was like the first time that I kind of got to know you outside of the broadcasting company and watching the webcast and knowing your voice. Long time fan over here.
Okay. I perfectly understand. I'm probably not someone that's
Are you lost for words, Tony?
I am. I'm just trying
You're
to gather,
blushing and everything.
Yeah, I'm just trying to gather my words a little bit here. But I mean,
I can't believe this. I just made Tony Lightfoot lost for words. But someone write down this day, because this never happens.
I'm just trying to gather my words, okay? Just take it down a beat, okay? So I mean, looks like your summer's lined up, mm-hmm. and everything. I mean, how much do you plan for some of the stuff that goes off season? Do you take it one day at a time? I mean, are you already looking forward to heading back to Chile for a couple of months or what have you? Or?
Yeah, bar like maybe 1 or 2 weeks, I can probably tell you what I'm going to be doing every week and almost every day from now until like, I don't know, mid-February. Mm-hmm. And, no, honestly, probably now till like mid-March. So yeah, I have a schedule. I know what I'm doing. I plan for, you know, that time away, where to go. And so yeah, I got a couple weeks where I'm like sort of, you know, maybe I go do some coaching in the winter and I think I got 3 weeks left of availability in coaching. But other than that, I'm like pretty much packed up now.
There you go.
All right, then we'll put a bow on this this podcast with Joel Poland, the latest one that I've had with Joel Poland, because I've already interviewed him enough times before in the past, and it's always great to get updated, you know, and at least provide a little bit of content going forward, you know, for the TWBC tournaments. You know, I mean, that's half the reason why I do these podcasts, you know, so I can actually find out what's going on and use that for the live broadcasting. You know, you didn't know that, and you never heard anything like that before.
No, I mean, I am a big fan of these little podcasts. I love listening to it, especially with the people I know, and even the people that you don't really know. Like, you kind of get to know them through your conversations here, and yeah, I'm a big fan of these short little podcasts that you do, and you got a listener right here.
Excellent. I certainly appreciate that. Anyone you want to give a big shout out to, thanks and what have you, you know, going forward as you get ready to make an assault upon the Slalomskiers that we have assembled here for this with the Swiss Pro?
Oh, no one specifically coming to mind, but I would like to say a massive thank you to Mastercraft for hooking me up with that boat this week, because yeah, like, I haven't stopped smiling all week, and yeah, the other day actually we went out in the boat, and me, Rob Hazelwood, Ben Turp, and Alex King, and we christened it, and that was, like, you know, two of my childhood friends, and then Alex is more of a new friend, but again, like, a great friend, and yeah, that was kind of like the highlight so far of my year.
Bottles of champagne, I'm guessing, flowing.
No, I'm an athlete, man. Just water.
Just water for the moment. Okay. All right, then. That concludes this edition of the TWBC podcast. More episodes will be coming your way as we get ready for the 10th edition of the Swiss Pro Slalom right here at Swiss Water Ski Resort. But in the meantime, it is ciao for now.
Listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.